357. Now that's really a long-distance call. In a live telephone link from the Shenzhou 5, astronaut Yang Liwei last night told his family he felt very good in space. "I promise to fulfill this mission smoothly. Wait for my good news," Yang said confidently. The talk was held at 7:58 p.m. between the 38-year-old Yang and his family members, who watched him carefully at the tracking and control hall at Beijing Aerospace Control Center. "So proud of you," said Zhang Yumei, Yang's wife. "Our parents, your son and I, are looking at you now. What does the outside of the module look like?" "Splendid," replied Yang. "The scenery outside is very beautiful, and I can see our beautiful home planet. The inner environment of the craft is very good. Dear Daddy, how are you? Have you written diaries? What did you eat?" asked the astronaut's 8-year-old son, Yang Ning Kang. "Thank you, my dear son," Yang said. "The condition of my body is pretty good. I have written down everything about the work here and what I saw. I ate the so-called space food in the module," he added humorously. Yang rocketed into space at 9 a.m. yesterday. He took with him Chinese dishes like 8 treasure rice pudding, stir-fried diced chickens with chili and peanuts, fish-flavored shredded pork, and a tonic drink containing traditional Chinese medicine.
358. The first astronaut, a Russian dog named Laika. In 1961, a Soviet Union rocket blasted off and began one of the greatest adventures in history, the conquest of space. Yuri Gagarin, the cosmonaut inside the rocket, became the first person to orbit the Earth. The most dramatic event in the short history of spaceflight occurred in 1969, when an American astronaut named Neil Armstrong became the first man to walk on the moon. These history-making events were important steps on our journey toward the stars. The first step in this fantastic journey took place in 1957, when the Soviet Union launched Sputnik, the first satellite, which had a great effect on the entire world. In the same year, the first astronaut was sent into space, a Russian dog named Laika. The first American-built rocket was launched the following year. In 1964, another important goal was reached when both countries launched satellites headed for the far side of the moon. These satellites gave us our first look at the moon's hidden face. These spacecraft were followed by others that orbited the moon and transmitted thousands of photographs to Earth. From these photographs, scientists selected the landing sites for the Apollo moon landing program.
359. An analysis of population. The advantages and disadvantages of a large population have long been a subject of discussion among economists. It has been argued that the supply of good land is limited. To feed a large population, inferior land must be cultivated, and the good land worked intensively. Thus, each person produces less, and this means a lower average income than could be obtained with a smaller population. Other economists have argued that a large population gives more scope for specialization and the development of facilities such as ports, roads, and railways, which are not likely to be built unless there is a big demand to justify them. One of the difficulties in carrying out a worldwide birth control program lies in the fact that official attitudes to population growth vary from country to country, depending on the level of industrial development and the availability of food and raw materials. In the developing country, where a vastly expanded population is pressing hard upon the limits of food, space, and natural resources, it will be the first concern of government to place a limit on the birth rate, whatever the consequences may be. In a highly industrialized society, the problem may be more complex. A decreasing birth rate may lead to unemployment because it results in a declining market for manufactured goods. When the pressure of population on housing declines, prices also decline and the building industry is weakened. Faced with considerations such as these, the government of a developed country may well prefer to see a slowly increasing population rather than one which is stable or in decline.
360. Teenage marriage. Here are some startling facts about teenage marriages. There are twice as many teenage marriages today as there were 20 years ago. About 2 out of 5 of today's brides are 15 to 18 years old. Half of today's teenage marriages are in divorce in 5 years. What is the story behind these figures? Why are more young people marrying earlier? 1. Young people grow up faster than they used to, say the experts. Often, girls are dating at 11. At 14, they're going steady. The next logical step seems to be engagement, then marriage. 2. For some teenagers, marriage is an escape. Sometimes boys and girls marry to get away from an unhappy home. Lonely young men and women may think that marriage will solve all their problems. Being married gives them a sense of security, someone to lean on. The outside world seems less unfriendly then. 3. Many young people, though, marry to prove that they are grown up. They want to get out on their own and become independent. 4. Popular music, magazines, movies, and TV programs often paint a romantic picture of marriage. They picture a dreamy wedding in white, a happy ever after marriage. This tempts many teenagers. What goes wrong with many teenage marriages? 1. Money is often a big problem. Young people who marry before they finish school are not likely to get good paying jobs. Struggling to make both ends meet puts strain on the marriage. 2. As a young couple grows up and develops other interests, they often grow apart rather than together. They may start out with a lot in common, but they may later find that they are very different from each other. 3. Many young couples aren't prepared for marriage. They are shocked at the real-life problem of getting along with another person.
361. Wastes. Mankind is wasting things everywhere and every day. Wherever we go, we can see that paper, bottles, and cans are thrown away. Food is wasted just because of poor taste. Clothes are discarded simply due to their old fashion. Not only things and money are wasted, but natural resources are abused as well. Trees are cut down merely for fuel. Wild animals are killed simply for meat. Oil and coal exploited in a bad way. The worst example of man's waste is the waste of time. Many people tend to spend their time on worthless things, such as wandering about in the street, gossiping in the office, sleeping too much during the day. As we know, time is so precious to use that it passes by and never returns. The waste of time amounts to the waste of life. It is time to call for an end to the waste. On one hand, we must save natural resources and make full use of them. Otherwise, human beings will be faced with the shortage of natural resources and suffer from the pollution caused by wastes. On the other hand, we must treasure our time. Only with our time to be devoted to the study and the work for the people will we never regret the life we have had.
362. The grain crisis in the 21st century. Nowadays, the whole world is experiencing a grain crisis. As reported, 30% of the population in the world suffer from the shortage of grain, especially in the developing countries, such as some areas in Africa and Asia. There are many reasons for the widespread grain crisis. For one reason, there is an automatic increase due to population growth. It's said that in 20 years' time, the demand for grain will be roughly double. Another reason for the grain crisis is that people feed cattle the grain instead of eating the grain themselves. In addition, large amount of farmland has been wasted because of the building construction. Finally, the not-so-advanced science and technology is also responsible for the poor production of grain in developing countries. Faced with such a situation, It is obvious that everybody should be well educated not to waste a bit of grain. Also, the developing countries should try to learn the advanced science and technology from the developed countries and improve their production of grain. Maybe another important step should be taken is to control the birth rate. However, I'm sure the grain crisis will be overcome as long as the world as a whole tries to fight against it.
363. The police and the public. The police claim that their relationship with the public is getting better. They have regular meetings with social workers, community leaders, and health officers. They visit schools and talk to the children. In some districts, primary schools have adopted police officers who take on a school as their special responsibility. They play with the children and talk to them and try to show them that the police are their friends, to whom they can go if they are in trouble. It is now part of the training of every police officer to learn something about the background of the immigrant communities. However, in many places, there is still hostility and suspicion between the police and black immigrants. This is partly because of the high unemployment rate of immigrants. They have nowhere to go and nothing to do, and so wander about the streets together in groups. Many of them have problems at home, and they often live in very poor housing. When the police see them together on the streets, they tend to expect trouble, and often stop and question these young people, who are angered by this interference with their freedom as citizens. The relationship between the police and the non-whites may improve as more uniformed officers patrol their districts on foot. In addition, since there has been a considerable rise in pay, many more people are applying for work with the police force. This means that there is a better, wider choice, and only the most suitable people are chosen.
364. Share your blood with others. A grown-up person has 10 or 11 pints of blood inside his or her body. We can lose a pint of blood without feeling anything, but if we lose a great deal of blood, we feel weak. Our face becomes pale. We may die. This is what often happens when somebody is hurt in an accident, or a soldier is wounded in a battle. Many people used to die in this way, but nowadays, they can be taken to hospital and given more blood. Almost at once, they feel better. Their faces are no longer pale. They do not die. Where does this blood come from? People who are healthy give some blood so that it can be used in this way. Every 3 months, they go to a place where blood is collected. A special kind of needle is put into the arm. It does not hurt you much. The blood runs through the needle and through a rubber tube into a bottle. A pint of blood is taken. Then the person who has given the blood drinks a cup of tea or coffee. He sits down for a few minutes. Then he feels quite well and goes off. 3 months later, he comes back and gives another pint. A person who contributes blood feels happy. He knows that his blood will be used to save someone's life. Perhaps one day he himself will be used to save someone's life. Perhaps one day he himself will need another person's blood. When you are old enough, you may decide to give blood to save others, but you cannot do this until you are 18 years old.
365. The safety belt. According to the American Automobile Association, since 1964, cars sold in the United States have been equipped with seat belts. They are also called safety belts. Many studies of automobile accidents have shown that safety belts can save lives. One study showed that 40% of those killed in auto accidents could have been saved if they had been wearing seat belts. Unfortunately, belts are worn only by a small percentage of drivers and passengers, about 15% in cities and only 9% in small towns, and safety belts cannot protect people who do not wear them. In order to find out what kinds of people do wear seat belts, a study was made in several cities of the United States. The following facts were learned about those who use their safety belts. 1. They do not smoke while driving. 2. They have had more education than non-users. 3. They know someone who was injured, but not killed, in an automobile accident. Advertisements based on these facts have been printed in newspapers and magazines in order to teach people the importance of using seatbelts. But these advertisements have not helped much. Some people believe there should be a law requiring drivers and passengers to use safety belts. In Australia, where there is such a law, deaths in auto accidents have decreased 24%.